Blog Talk Radio.
You know, for some reason today, I've been had a lot of, just being filled with the spirit in terms of thinking that I would like to share something. A song used to be real dear to my heart. You can call it the old-time gospel if you like to, old-time songs. But this one song, I'm going to share with you all this morning, just a little bit of it. I want to dedicate this to myself. It kind of remind me of how wonderful God is, and Sam Cooke sung it. So I want y'all to listen to a little bit here.
Wonderful, God, so wonderful. He's wonderful. He's so wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my guide. Whatever I need, the Lord will provide. And praise the Lord, I know he's wonderful.
So I just had to feel a little of that for you this morning. There was another song that touched me too this morning that I thought that would be nice to play. And it has to do with more or less old school. Gospel, I guess you would call it, but it was these old songs that they would, I'm going to call it old school because of, the old people used to sing these old songs, old school gospel, and once you heard it, once somebody sung one, it was no question somebody else was going to join in. And I was going to play a little bit of that, but Lord lead me to go ahead and get into the review. This review this week is beautiful. So much I can say, it's just beautiful if you can appreciate the word of God. But before we go there, we're going to have a word of prayer. 5:18 says, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So it's God's will that we give thanks for everything. So we want to take this time to thank God for his word first and foremost. That is the most important thing you can do, is give God thanks for his word, especially if there was something that you've been touched by. If there's something that God have illuminated in your spirit, I pray to God that you will be thankful for that. Because it ain't every day that God illuminate his word in a person's spirit. So when you see that happen, thank him for it. I want to thank God for each and every one of you all. We was all able to see a Christmas. If you, this past Christmas, we celebrate the day that Christ was born. Doesn't matter what day people say. It's just a mere fact that we know that he was born. So I thank God for that. And I thank him for the word. And I thank him for traveling, mercy, and his grace. You may have a GPS, but God got to get you there. You may have a map, and you may have mapped it out, but it's God's grace that got to take you there. You may be getting on an airplane, and the pilot might be in control. He may see his way up, but it takes God's grace to see your way down. So I'm just thankful this morning, brothers and sisters, for everything that God has did in our lives. I thank him for virus. Now, a lot of people say, why would you do that? It takes something like that sometimes for people to wake up. So I thank him for it. I thank him for everything that that he's doing. I thank him for such a time as this. When I look around, I just want to thank God for everything. And I know somebody wondering, why you got that mindset? Brother and sister, when you know from whence you came and you realize that God have, he have blessed you and you know it was God, you got to be thankful. When I look back over my life and I see where God have brought me from, brother and sister, I'm thankful. I'm sure enough thankful. And I ask God to bless those that are asking for someone to agree with them in prayer. And we want to agree with you based on the word of God. Take this time to put ourselves in agreement with you. I want to pray a little this song right here. And if you will. Because I just thought about the old time stuff where people, they don't get into it, but I was raised on this kind of stuff. When people knows how to praise God, they just did it a little different. So I want to put a little of this, and then we're going to get into the review.
Morning worship, right? We had praise and worship back then, but it just did it a little different. You never knew what they were going to strike out on. You just knew that after they go, whoa, you better be ready. And here it comes. So we're going to do some praise and worship old school style this morning. And when you hear the one that you remember, let me know you know what I'm talking about. Whoa, yeah, that's it. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Whoa, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Come on, y'all. And I will serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Remember this? Lord, you Lord. Oh, remember.
Remember that, and I don't know, that thing this morning just really hit me. I got to praising, and I pulled up that Sam Cooke song, and I thought about how wonderful God is and how wonderful he is to us, and we so unappreciative of his goodness and of his blessings, and how I could just go on and on and on. But I'm going to share this one little thing with you all. Brothers and sisters, whatever you know that God has taught you from your youth, that you know is God. I'm not talking about religion now. I'm talking about things that God taught you. You ought to hold on to it. For instance, a woman should be breastfeeding and not taking these formulas that they're giving them and taking a drying up their breasts and crazy stuff. Better hold on to his hand. Whatever he taught you about the word, hold on to it. Because Satan would love nothing more than to get your faith or your trust out of the word of God. You're not living by what you feel, see, or anything of that nature. So I just had to share a little of that, which just took me back. And I wanted to share that with you all before the end of 2021. That may be the last old school music, getting ready to go into the new stuff next year. So I just want to make sure that I share where my heart was at. Hey, brother and sister, we're going to get started now with the review. Review this week, been dealing with fighting the good fight of faith. And hold on, because this is about your eternal life. And our first scripture, anybody want to share anything? This is not my review. This is our review. So if you want to share anything that you've gotten this week scripturally, we would really appreciate it. I know a lot of people on here every week, and believe me, brothers and sisters, I'm the last one to try to pressure anybody into doing anything. But I just want to say it. I talked to a lady that listened to us via internet. And God blessed me this morning because I didn't know, and I'm not into numbers, but it's one group that follows us through a whole series of things. Then that's a whole nother thing. But I'm just thankful. That's all. I guess more so than anything else, I'm just thankful. But if you get a scripture you want to share, please do not hesitate to share that scripture with us or anything of that nature. Hallelujah. So, Pastor Bill, are you available to read? Okay.
I'm available.
Okay, our foundational scripture was found in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. And I'll read out of the King James. And you can read out of the Messenger Bible if you have it, or either vice versa. So if you have it in the Messenger Bible, I'll go ahead on and read it out of the King James. It reads like this: fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, run hard and fast in the faith. Seize the eternal life, the life you were called to, the life you so fervently embrace in the presence of so many witnesses. Amen, amen.
And so some of the notes that I made is that, first of all, brother and sister, this is a fight, and it's called a good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. And it's not any kind of fight. It's a fight of faith. So in real plain layman terms, faith is the word of God. Best way to describe it. So if you're fighting, you're using the word of God so you can lay hold on your eternal life. That's mm-hmm. what's going on here. Then he says, now you've been called to do that. You've been called to lay hold on your eternal life. How do you do that? Through your profession. Whatever you profess, that's what you are. And he said, it's a good profession. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. You know why? Because you're telling people what God has, word has said. That's what makes it good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm going to say that. What makes it good is because you're professing what God's word said. That's what makes it good. God's word is good. The writer says, okay, and see how good that the word of God is. It's good because of what the word declare and decree for us. It's good because he made us in his image and after his likeness. It's good because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's good stuff right there. It's good because Colossians 1:13 said we've been delivered from the power of darkness. That's good preaching right there. It's good because Philippians 4:19 says I'm getting all my needs met. That's good. That's a good thing right there. And then 1 Peter 5:7 says we can cast down all our cares on Jesus. Why? Because he cares for us. That's a good word right there. That's a good faith, brothers and sisters. If you understand that the word of God is faith, then you understand Romans 8:17 that says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good confession. That's a good confession when you can say, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly lives. That's a good confession. You don't believe me, ask Evangelist Renee. She'll tell you that's a good word when you can quote 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes, I am healed. I were healed. Isaiah 53:5 says, I am. 1 Peter 2:24 says, I were. We were healed by his stripes. Past tense, already been taken care of. But what we must do is exercise our authority in the word of God. And the way we do that, by confessing what the word says, see? Foundational scripture. Anybody else have want to comment on it? Okay. Then let's see here. Also, we did Romans 10:6-18. That was one of our scriptures because it had to do with confession. But just, if you look at it like this, your salvation started with confession. And when you understand that that's how your salvation started, it didn't start by you giving some preacher your hand. That's not how your salvation started. Your salvation started, or it should have started, with confessing what the word of God say. See?
Amen.
Paul said they was ignorant because they didn't understand this.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he said, my heart and prayer is for God, for Israel, that they might be saved. Wasn't sure they were going to, but they might be saved. Why you say that, Paul? He said, because they ignorant when it comes to God's righteousness.
All right.
The Bible said they being ignorant of God's stuff and going about to do their own stuff. See, everybody want to do their own thing when you got the word of God right here to tell you what to do, how to do. But no, you rather do what your mind say. You rather do what society say. You know, I've had people literally tell me that you can't live without money. How dumb is that? How stupid is that? Brothers and sisters, don't ever shortchange God. God didn't need money to change the course of society, change the course of the world. He didn't need money to get you healed. I mean, he had ravens to bring bread.
Yeah.
He had fish to bring money. God don't need money to make. God can take the enemy stuff and bless you with it. That's if you got faith. Now, if you don't have faith, of course, that's the only way you believe because that's all you know. See, one thing about it, you can't go beyond your confession, okay? And if you don't confess your faith and sanctify, your life will never change either. Oh. We did read Romans 10:6-16, and it reads like this. But the righteousness which is of faith speak on this wise. Say, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thine mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart, thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, the spirit, that man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greeks. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not known and not believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esau said, the Lord who have believed, I report.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. But trust in God is to shape. I'm sorry, let me back up. God soon discovers it's not so easy. Every detail of life regulated by fine print. But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah. No dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. So what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul. God works doing anything. You're simply calling. Let me back up here. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead, that's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. Then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will regret it. It's exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background may be. The same God of all of us, acting the same incredible, generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help God gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why scripture explains, a sight your breath away, grand possessions of people, telling all the good news of God. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asks, what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen to. Amen, amen.
Amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's just so much in that. I like to say, don't be ignorant. Don't have your own thing. Go by God's plan. He says you have to confess. And then he tells you what to believe. He tells you what to trust. Let me tell you what. That's what believing is. It's putting trust in the word of God. But when you put trust in the word of God, that becomes your faith. Remember, what was that? Proverbs 3 and 5 that says trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
With all thy heart, with your whole spirit. And then it says, lean not to your own understanding.
Amen.
So the way to not to your own understanding is to lean to the understanding of the word of God. Don't try to explain anything. You don't have to. It's like line on line, precept on precept. Just say what the word say. Stop being lazy. Get into the word and see what the word say about a particular thought. See, because most people think that, oh, you can't just say what the word say for everything. Now, how ignorant is that? Oh, you're bigger than God now. You can explain things better than God. No, what's happening is you got a lot of people is ignorant and lazy and don't want to get into the word of God so they can use line on line and precept on precept. And so when the Bible says acknowledge him and he shall direct their path, they'll say that, but they don't believe that.
Have mercy.
He said, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Evil is anything that you made to be right. That's what evil is.
Have mercy.
See, so what we should be doing is we should be trusting him by walking out there on that word, by living by what the word says, and by studying the word and finding out what the word says about each and every situation. Then we can speak what the word says. And I know people can probably give you 1,000 different scenarios here. They can probably give you scenario after one. But I'm going to tell you at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, don't let mercy forsake you. Don't let truth forsake you. Keep that stuff, bind it about your neck, right into your spirit, man. Let it get deep down in there.
Yeah.
Which happens to be the word of God. Trust him. You can trust him. If he tells you to walk out there, do it. But let the word tell you, not your head, not some idea, not some grandmama experience, not some grandfather. No, let the word of God speak to you and tell you. And you're on track then. See, we got too many people out here want to give their interpretation of the word of God. You don't have to. It ain't necessary. That ain't what God needs you for. What God needs you for is you go tell the world what he said. When he says, what we're talking about, Proverbs 3 and 5, when he says trust in the Lord with all thine heart, explain to them what trusting is. And whatever illustration you want to give, that's fine. To get them to understand that, hey, the Bible says trust in the Lord and teach them how to trust in the Lord. Taking him at his word, like the baby. When the baby is trying to walk, you say, come on, baby, come on. And then when you know anything, the baby walking out there to mommy. That's how trust, that's what trust is before your eyes. Because the word of God said, for no other reason, You hanging on to it. He said, supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. See, my needs and your needs may be different. So I'm trusting God for my needs. I don't know what your needs is about. Because, see, mine is not about money. Mine is not about fame. Mine's trusting is not about how many likes I can get. I ain't trusting God for that. There's people out there want to trust God. Oh, I got 2 million likes. So what? You got people in the world got 25 million likes. You ain't did nothing.
Amen.
I don't need that light. I don't need but one light, and that's God. That's the only light I'm asking for. Lord, I hope I can get a light from you. If I can get a light from God, I'm good.
Amen.
But anyway.
All right.
Our next scripture that I kind of made a mark here I want to share with is over there in and I think Pastor even shared that scripture with us on Tuesday. But in 2 Timothy 3:10, that was the one scripture we dealt with this week. So let's go there, brothers and sisters. I know I didn't comment a lot on Romans 10, but I'm going to tell you, you need to go there and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. Not because I said it, but because that's where your salvation started. That's where you start laying hold on your eternal life. And that's what this is about, your eternal life. Brothers and sisters, them the few dollars, that house, that vehicle, that job, all this stuff going to perish, man, in just a matter of day, hour days. This, you know, I'm going to tell you something. This stuff ain't going to last one day with God. One day. Won't last one day with God. Because the Bible says 1,000 years is asked but one day in the Lord. So you ain't going to keep that stuff a day with the Lord. So let it go. What's the big deal? This is about your eternal life, which is far more precious. Far more. Believe me, I tell you. You can't even imagine what eternity is going to be like. But in 2 Timothy 3:10, I read it like this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, and what persecution I endured, but out of the all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seduce shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Amen. Send the message. Send the message, Bible. Yeah. You've been a good apprentice to me, a part of my teaching, my manner of life. Direction, steadiness, love, patience, trouble, suffering long with me in all the grief I had to put up with in Antioch. I come in Lystra, and you also well know that God rescued me. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. They're getting around it. Unscrupulous con men will continue to exploit the same. They're as the same as the people they lead astray. As long as they are out there, things can only get worse. I'd like to read that 14th, part of that 14th verse in the Message Bible Pastor, and it says, but don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learn and believe, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Amen.
Amen. See, in this chart, Paul told Timothy, people who obey God and live for Christ will be persecuted. So don't be surprised, he says, when people misunderstand, criticize, and even they'll hurt you, thinking they're doing God a favor because they're trying to straighten you out. Have no clue. He said, because of what you believe, or how you believe it, how you're living. So he said, don't give up now. Continue in the faith. In other words, continue to live by the word of God. Continue to live according as the word has said. But you know that God is the only one you need in this world. Hallelujah. Now, some people say that, but they don't have that. And here's why they don't have it, because they don't get in the word of God. Because they're not in the word, that God can't be in them. How I know that? Because the scripture says in John 15, abide in my word and my word abide in you. Read the 7th verse. See? So when a person is not abiding in the word, they're not into God. They got an idea. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 10. He said they got an idea about God, but it's not according to knowledge. Listen, brothers and sisters, knowledge is the principal thing. And if I must say godly knowledge, not any kind of knowledge, because you got a lot of foolishness out here. You got a lot of foolish knowledge out here. Well, they say this and they say that. And then some people, they criticize their own self. One moment they believe in signs, the next moment they don't.
Have mercy.
Well, you know, I don't know about all this. I was listening at the news yesterday, and I was just going to stick this in you so you can get this part. One moment, Trump is telling, oh, I got my virus. I mean, I got my booster. I got the shot. And then his fans get mad at him. Then he turn around and say, well, everybody should get a shot. But before, when he was president, he didn't tell nobody. But now that we have this, what do they call it, Omicron virus, that because we have that, he says, oh, everybody, because that thing will kill you. Guess who's it's killing? People that's not vaccinated. I ain't trying to tell you, but that's who's dying. And for those that don't know, I mean, you may not value this life that much, because a lot of people don't value life much anyway. That's why they're killing people like they do at a dime a dozen. They're killing them. They don't value life. But for those that do, and this is the only reason I value life, because God gave it to you, and you're not doing the right thing with it. It's yours. It's yours. He gave it to you, and he gave you two paths. You can go the word way or the world way. You're going to go one of them WW. What? You're going to either go the word or you're going to go the world. And if you don't know the difference, then you need to check out what the word says and check out what the world says, see? So you don't know which path you're on. That's what needs to take place. But anyway, so Paul was telling young Timothy, expect false teachers. Expect evil people.
Yeah.
He said, but you know what? Be reformed from those people. Because here's what people are going to do. Matter of fact, he goes on and tells them in that 13th verse, just let them go. Because what's going to happen, they're going to go from bad to worse.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going from bad to worse? Who wants that? Who want to do that one? Go from bad to worse.
Nobody.
Do I need to explain what that is? Bad from worse? Yeah. That's when you kill yourself and you won't die.
Well, all right.
You're
then.
Trying to commit suicide and you still can't die. That's going from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That lady said, well, it was already bad that she didn't want to take the shot. Then her husband died because he didn't want to take it. That's going from bad to worse. And she said, oh, if he could only had taken it. And we were going to take it. He was going to take it. That's what she said on the news. He was going to take it. Well, boom, it's too late now, sweetheart. It's too late. That's all I'm trying to say, Bum. So when I think about this, God has told me, say, that's the way the word of God is. Either people are going to take it now or it's just going to be too late. Just like that virus killed you and you don't have another chance to come back. That's the way it is in this Christian walk with Christ, brothers and sisters. Same thing. You won't get that chance to back. Say, well, if I can get just another chance. Because you know, you got a lot of people living like they're not going to die. It's not going to happen to them. But anyway. They go from bad to worse. So if you have that opportunity, correct those such things in your life so as being bad to worse to worse. And we're not talking, and you got the opportunity now to go from worse to first. And here's this opportunity. Go back to the faith that's in Christ. Fight for the truth. Especially to protect even your children and your grandchildren, and it's a fight. It's a fight to keep the truth. When you tell somebody, hey, the word of God says that you can be healed. The word of God says you all my needs are being met, and then they telling you how to meet your needs, how your needs have to be met. And I always refer to evangelist. Renee, she will tell you in a heartbeat, brothers and sisters, that by his stripes, she's healed. She'll tell you that. Looking at right, and that's the other thing, too, that's so beautiful about that, is now I can give you a lot of my experience, but I'm always doing that. That's why every chance I get to throw somebody else in there, I throw a mess in there. I was talking to a lady the other day. She told me she knew she couldn't get credit. She knew she couldn't get credit. But she wanted to get this house, and God opened the door for her.
All right, now.
Now, don't ask me. I can't tell you. I don't know if God allowed a cloud to come over. The people missed the paperwork. I don't know. All I can tell you, she got the house.
Praise God.
Not like that man who was blind. They said, how you get healed? Everybody know you're blind. You blind. Everybody know that. Like they say in Georgia, everybody know you blind. Everybody know you blind. What you doing looking thin? And he's talking to the priest. He said, well, all I know, some man took some saliva, and he took some dirt, mixed it, and he told me to go to the pool of Bethesda and wash. And all I know, I was blind, but now I see. Brothers and sisters, miracles are happening right now. And it don't cost you a dime. It don't cost your arm and leg. It just costs you to believe in the word of God.
Yeah.
So don't ask me to try to figure out anything because I can't. I'm not going to. That's God's job. And I'm not going to take God's position. My job is to tell people, get in the word of God and believe it, trust it, stay in there. Go on and put your foot up. Because you're getting ready to step on something you don't even see. Your greater, your future is going to be greater than your past if you walk in it. Your latter rain is going to be greater than which God of ours. And it's nobody on this broadcast could tell me God ain't worked something for you. And I don't know if you asked him or not. It doesn't really matter. But you knew it wasn't of your strength. You know it wasn't of your doing. Why should you be praying and asking God for strength when he told you the joy of the Lord is your strength? Get into the joy and your strength will be there. I have to pray for that. I was telling Pastor Marilyn the other day, I'll pray for people like that. Pray my strength in the Lord. Nope. Sorry, I ain't doing it. God ain't told me to do that. Oh, you're
all
not
right.
Nope, not going to do it. Get in the Word of God, and you'll find out that your strength is in the Lord. And when you get that joy, you'll have that.
Mm-hmm.
Christ
yeah.
strengthens us. So why should I be praying for something that God's going to do himself? I'm not doing that. I'm not going against the Word to appease you. I'm not going against the Word to satisfy you. What I'm going to tell you is to hold on to your profession of faith.
Mm.
You profess that Word, and you hold on to it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Man, I got to pray for that. Don't pray for that.
Amen.
But pray that God put me above and not beneath. He already did that. Now walk in it. Hold on to it.
Mm.
Confess it. When you'll confess it and confess it, it's going to come to reality.
All right.
That's what's going to happen.
Amen.
Well, that was a few things that we did over this week. Anybody else have anything they would like to share? I could go on and on and on for Tuesday, but I do want to say this because in Mark 11:23-24, it says, whatever you say and don't doubt, but believe what you say, it's going to come to pass. And I'm going to say this, brothers and sisters, that's the part that Christ's over. He's over that part. Or he's over that part right there, that part. The part that you say, because he's the high priest of our confession. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't say it, he can't be your priest. But anyway, I'm going to leave it right there. And you part of it when you operate in it. If you don't operate on in it and you just seeing this stuff or you hearing it, it doesn't mean anything. It means something when you become part of it. You become a partaker. You're taking your part.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Well, just press one, anybody. Okay. Let me go back over here. Okay. Anyone like to have anything to say? Just okay. Okay.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
To God be the glory. I just wanted to comment, you know, my friends, I don't know how people use, well, I do know, but how they use hope. I hope everything will be okay. I hope and I pray. No, 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 no. And I find myself, it just comes out of me. And I'll be like, what? You hope? You better claim it in Christ Jesus' name. And they be looking like, what? I mean, look, you can't hope and pray. You got to just pray and claim it. Believe it. I'm a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Claim it,
mm-hmm.
believe it, stand on that word, and it shall come to pass. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen.
You don't need to walk in both of them. You need to operate in one or the other. I mean, hope is a good thing. Why hope when you know you can trust and believe in the Word of God? You can act on the Word of God. I see what she's saying. I see exactly what you're saying.
All right.
Anyone else? Anyone else?
Well, and Colossians, I think we did Colossians 2:5. And we have, for our notes, we were talking about have faith in Christ. So that's kind of like what Evangelist Renee was saying, that that's where our faith needs to be, in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Listen, brother and sister, I want you to have that assurance. I'd rather a person have that assurance than to walk, well, I hope God's going to do this. You don't have to hope it. You can know he's going to do it because he's not mm-hmm. short of his promises. But you won't get it done through hope. You're going to get it done through you operating in the word of God. Lord, it's what your word says, and your word says this and thus and so forth, and I know you're going to make your word good. So therefore, thank you, Lord. Boom, there it is.
Amen.
He's bigger than that. If you got AIDS mm-hmm. right now, I want to tell you, God bigger than that. And you don't have to see it disappear before you believe it. See, that's where hope comes in. I hope it's gone. No, faith says it's gone. That's what faith says.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fight right there. Faith says it's gone. By his stripes, I'm healed. I don't care what my eyes say. I don't care what I smell. I don't care what I think. Faith says it's done. Period.
Hallelujah.
That's what faith says. Now, what you say. See, y'all didn't hear that over there in Romans 10 yet. I know you didn't hear it. It says, what says it? What does it say? What you saying about it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the word is near, is nigh thee, even in mm-hmm. thy mouth. And in thine heart or in thy spirit, that is the word of faith which we preach. That's what we're preaching. Grab the word. Stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
How you do that? If thou confess with thy mouth, got to use your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing you eat them chitlins with.
Mm-hmm.
I went there, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Ooh.
Same thing you
yes.
eat the ham with. Same thing you eat. Turkey with, same thing you eat lamb with, your mouth. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your spirit man that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, it's with the mouth. It's with the mouth. That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Through you speaking the word of God. And you don't have to speak a lot of negative stuff. If you don't know what negative and what's I don't even want to use the word positive. If you don't know the difference between negative, because see, positive, some of that positive stuff, it gets in the areas of hope. And but the word of God go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
See, the word of God
right.
go beyond positive speaking, positive thinking. The word of God go beyond that, and it delivers. But how that's done? Through faith. Through you trusting and acting on that word. That's how that works.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Anyone else? Pastor, you have anything else?
Pastor, I was just looking at it in Romans 10 in the New Living Translation. Let's see, we started with verse 6, and it says,
yeah.
But faith way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to bring Christ down to the earth, and don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Amen.
That's what it's about. It's about openly declaring that Jesus is Lord. And because you act on that, your spirit man act on that, you get saved. But it doesn't stop like there. You have to continue to believe in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God been made right for us. So my righteousness is in Christ. Everything I have is in Christ. Period.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask me something, it's in Christ. Because the Lord told me the other day, I was dealing with a situation, and the Lord said, just say it's in Christ. It's in me. Wherever your needs are met, it's in me. So that's what I'm saying. I got to say what the words say. I got to stop using my own intellect, because it'll trip you up every time. But if you let the word be the final authority, you're going to be in line or aligned with the word of God. And that's what you want to do. You want to stay in alignment with the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Anyone else before we dismiss? Anyone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. We'll continue to pray for one another, and you all going to enjoy this beautiful day in the Lord.